little while, and we'll get here to it and read it this morning, if you will. Jesus is, he has been teaching his disciples and all of those that are around him about the things that are coming and after his days here on the earth and all the stuff that, you know, he's going to go through and all those things that they are not even really sure of so much, but he is getting ready to present some info to them and give them some insight into the days ahead. And of course, they still don't understand. It's been difficult, and I guess maybe we're all the same way. When somebody says something, sometimes it's difficult for us to understand it, or sometimes just difficult to accept it. I guess it's probably the main thing. But anyway, Jesus had been trying to tell them about what's coming ahead, all those things. Look in verse number 22, if you will. And it says, and he said unto his disciples. Now, if you'll look just real quickly, look at verse 20. It says he was demanded of the Pharisees. So there's a lot of people around hearing him teach and preach. And they're asking him about the kingdom of God. He keeps talking about the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God's coming. The kingdom of God. And they're wondering, you know, what in the world does that mean? And they don't understand when it should come and how it should come and all of that. And Jesus tells them there in verse 20, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. This is not something that you can see as you want to see it. He said it's not that kind of thing. He's trying to, as I say, trying to explain it to them. And he said the kingdom of God there at the very end of verse 21, kingdom of God's inside of you. That's what he tells them. The kingdom of God is inside of you. And he said unto his disciples in verse 22, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of those days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say unto you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. There's going to be a lot of folks tell you a bunch of stuff, and we live even in those days. You hear people telling, oh, well, the Lord's coming back here, and this over here means that, and just forget that. He said, as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part of under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. When Jesus comes back, it's coming, and you ain't going to really be able to go see it and look for it and all this kind of stuff. He said, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. For even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that's in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the morning. Thank you again for loving us and for blessing us and giving us this good time of worship, the songs, the praise, all the things that there are. Just bless those things and just encourage us, lift us, build us by them. But help us to see you and some things you want us to know through the Word of God this morning. And we'll just carefully thank you and praise you, give you worship today for everything that you do for us. Save that one that's lost. Speak to that one that needs you. Encourage those that are discouraged. And we'll thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Look at verse number 32, one of the shortest verses in your Bible, and it's just got three words. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Isn't that amazing? The only verse shorter that we know of over in John chapter number 11 where the Bible says that Jesus wept. You got two words, but here you have a three-word sentence that Jesus speaks from his own lips, and he simply says this, remember Lot's wife. Man, how'd that get in there? Well, I know he'd been talking about the days of Lot, and he talks about in those days, Lot went out of Sodom, and God let it rain fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. He said, it's going to be like that in the day that Jesus makes his return. He said, you know, that there's going to be some similarities between those days and the day that the Lord comes back. And he said, you know, in that day, whoever's on the housetop, and you know, going to be, don't go down and get your stuff, let it go. Two in the field, one taken, one left, one two in the bed, and two working, and all that stuff. He tells all those things. But then he just comes down to a point and says, remember Lot's wife. I mean, what was it about Lot's wife? Well, the story that of course relates to that is when you look back in your scriptures is back, of course, in the book of Genesis in chapter number 19, the story of when God sent the angels down to get Lot and his family out of the city so that because destruction was coming. You remember before that, God and Abraham have a meeting, and God begins to tell Abraham what's going to happen. And he tells him where it's going to happen. And Lot understands, Abraham understands his nephew Lot is in that city and that it would mean his destruction. And so he begins to pray and say, God, if there's, you know, 50, he starts out, if there's 50 righteous people in the city, will you spare it? And he goes all the way down. If you remember, he prays and said, if there's 10 righteous people, will you spare that city? And God says, for 10's sake, I will spare it. Well, guess what? They wasn't even 10 there. Amen? I mean, there wasn't 10 left. There wasn't very few. I mean, the Bible tells us all that we understand through the furthering of the scriptures. It says that there was Lot, and while he was there, he was in that city, it vexed his righteous soul. I don't see anybody else too much left. I know he had two daughters, but there's something wrong with them. We know he had a wife, but we read here, remember Lot's wife. And he had other son-in-laws and daughters and kids, apparently. But they thought he was making a joke. They thought, it said, he seemed as one that mocketh. And they were there in the parts of that destruction when destruction came upon the city. So we read, and you know, I think most people have been around church any kind of time would be like the Jewish people in these days when the Bible said, remember Lot's wife. Everybody said, oh, yeah, I remember Lot's wife. I remember what happened to her. She turned into a pillar of salt. She looked back. The Lord told him to escape, to go and flee to a mountain. And then we go through the part where Lot says, oh, well, let me just go to this city. And it's just a small city. Let's just go there, you know. And as they're escaping, for some reason, Lot's wife turns back. Well, not for some reason. We know what her reason was. She turned back, and she had her heart set on that city. She had her heart set on her home. She had her heart set on what was back there. Maybe it was her kids and memories and whatever was back. But she turned into a pillar of salt. She was gone in just a moment. The destruction that happened to that city happened to her too. So I want you to think about that with me this morning. And if you'll notice, as I say over in Genesis chapter number 19, it talks about how that, remember Lot's wife. What do you got to remember? The thing you need to remember is that she looked back. She looked back. That's what the Lord wants you to realize. Hey, there is no place of looking back. Amen. There's no, and that idea of looking back doesn't just mean taking a glance over your shoulder, but it means to have a regard, to have a consideration, or to pay some special attention to something. She looked back. I mean, she had a definite desire as she looked back at the city where she had just evacuated, where God told them to flee from, where the angels had to grab a hold of Lot's hands and practically drag them out of the city. She looked back. She said, oh no, my desire, my want, my whatever is back there in that city. Amen? I want to encourage you today to remember Lot's wife. I want you to consider that with three little thoughts with me, if you will, this morning. I want you to look at that, and let's think about this. In what Jesus says, he gives a warning of destruction. A warning of destruction. I mean, this was a warning that's going out. Yeah, hey, can I tell you something? When they get on the news and they begin to tell you and say the weather report in your area says that you have a tornado warning, take cover. You know what we do? Hey, most of us that heed those warnings will run to a safe place. They'll say, run to your safe spot, get in your designated area, find the most closed-in room in your house or a place you've got prepared or a place you know can withstand anything that might be coming through. If it's strong winds, if it's a tornado, if it's whatever severe weather it is, you need to get to your safe place. Now, here's you a warning. Can I tell you something? God's still giving out warnings today. Jesus is giving out a warning this morning. He said, remember Lot's wife. He said, this is a warning of a coming destruction. I mean, listen, look at this, if you will, her caution. I want you to notice her caution, if you will. I mean, she was warned of what was to come, but yet she looked back. She was warned. I mean, man, can I tell you? She was given the warning, and she failed to heed it. She just, well, she just couldn't help it, I guess you'd say. Or there was whatever was in her heart, it was there, and she looked back to her destruction. Can I tell you, friend, that's what God is warning us about today. I mean, everybody should realize there is a caution in our life. The Lord is coming soon, and I don't think we can proclaim it. I don't think we can announce it. I don't think we can talk about it. I don't think we can tell you enough times that Jesus is coming soon. But you know what the world does? The same thing they did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. The same things they did in the days of Noah. What does Jesus say? In those days, they heard the warnings, but what did they do? They just kept on going about their everyday business. Oh, hum ho, that old preacher said, Jesus is coming. That old preacher said, the Lord's getting ready to come back. And I'm just going to go ahead and go on with my life. I don't care what the preacher said. They didn't care what Noah said. They didn't care what the Lord's angel said. They didn't care what Lot warned them. Brother, it's coming, whether you're ready or not. Amen? It's coming. I'm telling you. And she was cautioned to do that. I think even to this fact that she probably believed what was told her to be true. I believe she thought, well, that's true. But, you know, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to have it. It'll happen to somebody else, but it won't happen to me. Do you believe that there are folks like that today? Well, I believe Jesus is coming, but that'll be a long time from now. It could be today. Well, if he comes back, I live in America, and America's a Christian nation. I'll go be with him. You better wake up and reread that somewhere. Amen. If you're saved, you're going. If you're not, you're headed for a place of destruction. So notice, first of all, she had some caution here. The warning of destruction, she got some caution. But don't you notice she made her choice? She made her choice. His wife looked back from behind. That's what it says of her in Genesis chapter number 19. I mean, she looked back. Everybody's escaping. The angel has Lot's hands. He's pulling him out of the city. His two daughters are right behind him. And behind them steps the mother. And as she went on her way, she all of a sudden turns around and she looks back to that city. Do you remember what happened to Lot in the beginning when Abraham and Lot, they had some difficulties between their herdsmen, their guys that were tending their sheep and their flocks, and they wasn't getting along good. They had some friction. So Abraham said, well, I think it'd be good if we split up. He said, wherever you want to go, Lot, you pick it, and I'll go the opposite direction. You remember that story? And the Bible said that Lot looked on to the well-watered plains of Mamre. He looked at this particular area where the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, he saw the bright lights in the big city. And I'll tell you, it grabbed his attention, and Lot went that direction. And when he got there, I want to tell you, he looked toward Sodom, He loved what he saw in Sodom, but I want to tell you something. He lost everything that he had when he went down to Sodom. Amen? I'm telling you that's the way it is with this crazy world today too. Oh, bright lights and big city. Oh, all the fun, all the excitement, all the allure, all the draw that there is in sin. I'll tell you, my Bible tells me, tells you, there is pleasure in sin for a season. But can I tell you, thank God it runs out, and you better have something to hold on to rather than the pleasure of sin for a season. Because beyond that, there is destruction. I mean, here she is. She made her choice. I mean, listen, she loved the things of this world. That's what she's chosen. She loves the thing. I mean, she's looking back to the things of this world. And I want to tell you, she loved all the stuff, everything that there was in the world. But there was no love of God that showed me anything in her life in these words. She just didn't love God like she loved all that other stuff. How about you this morning? Do you love him more than all of this? You remember what Jesus says to Peter? John chapter 21. Jesus has risen, but everybody's not convinced. They're all kind of confused and startled and dazed, and they don't know what to make of it. And all of a sudden, Jesus is on the shore, and they pull their boat into him that night. You know, they went fishing, and Peter's the one that started all of it. When they get to the shore and they eat the bread and they have a little bit of fellowship, Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Listen, what did he say? More than these. Do you love him more than these? And you say, well, what does that mean, more than these? There's a lot of things that can get in your way of how you should love him. You love him more than the world? You love him more than money? Do you love him more than prestige and fame? Do you love him more than that job? Do you love him more than that sin? Do you love him more than that stuff? Do you love him more than anything else in the world? And Jesus says, anybody wants to come after me, he's going to have to hate his father and his mother and his sister and his brother. And what he means by that is not literally hate, but they're going to have to take a second place to the Lord. Amen? And I'm just asking you, hey, can I tell you, Lot's wife, and we don't know what her name is. We have no idea. She is such a significant character that Jesus mentions her, but she's, on the other hand, maybe so insignificant that we don't know what her name was. We know Lot's name. We know the two daughters' name that he goes up into the mountains with. But we don't know Lot's name, do we? I mean, Lot's wife's name. We don't know her name at all. Can I tell you, that's the way it's going to be one of these days. You see her caution. You see her choice. And you see this calamity. I mean, she became a pillar of salt. She was this close to deliverance. She had nearly escaped to a place of safety and salvation. But you know what? The allure of what was behind her was more than what was before her. Amen? Oh, isn't that scary to think? You know what Agrippa said to Paul when Paul was preaching to him about Christ Jesus and salvation through him alone? He said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He said, if you'll just come back at some other convenient time, you come back at a better time, and I'll talk to you about it. You know what? I never see where Paul got the opportunity to go back to Agrippa. You know what that means? He probably died in his sin, and he split hell wide. He was that close, but he missed it by a mile. There's lots of other folks throughout your Bible. They miss the mark of the Lord Jesus. And I'm telling you, even though they were that close, Judas kissed the very doorway of heaven, and he died and he went to his own place. Man, can you believe that? I'm just saying, that's a calamity. That's a calamity. I mean, can I tell you, see that picture, let that picture just blazing in your mind that she became a pillar of salt. I mean, a pile of dust, a pile of something that just wasted away, a pile of something that could have been, but yet it's gone in just a few seconds. Can I tell you, that's what sin will do to any one of us in this building today. It'll make us a nothing and a nobody. Amen? So you see her warning of destruction. But second of all, when we look at this, And you see that Jesus just simply says, remember Lot's wife. I want to tell you, these are some words of instruction that come from Jesus. And again, the whole point of what Jesus is saying is, don't go back. Don't go back. I mean, can you believe that? Jesus is teaching it in these verses above and in all of this that he said. He said, look, you're looking for the kingdom of God and it's right here before you. You're at the very precipice. You're at the very doorstep. You're at the very entryway of it. You're right here at it. And he said, it can be on the inside of you. And all the Pharisees and the scribes and all of the other religious folks, oh, well, he just don't know what. We got religion. We know what we. Can I tell you, friend, that's the worst thing you can have is religion, because it'll send you right to hell. There's a lot of folks today eat up with religion. They've got all kind of religion. They have all kinds of religious rites and rituals, ceremonies and ways, but they're not right with God. That's not what it takes. It takes the shed blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sin. Just as simple as that little old song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's all that it takes. But can I tell you, Jesus is trying to impart some wisdom for these folks here, some words of instruction that he's trying to give them. He's trying to tell them, don't turn back. Go on with Jesus. Can I tell you, that's really, if you'll go back and look at it, read it and study it sometime, that's the entire point of the book of Hebrews. Go on. Go on. How many times does the writer in there say, let us go on? Let us go on. Let's don't get bogged down in what used to be. Don't get bogged down in what's behind us, but let's go on and have our victory in Jesus. Do you know there's some other folks in your Bible that learned the lesson of don't go back? You remember the story of Elijah? Elijah over in 1 Kings chapter number 19, he's come through his situation with Jezebel after him and all of that. And when he's out in that cave and God kind of gets him straightened out and back on his feet, he said, there's some things I want you to do. And he tells him, you know, there's a king he's going to anoint and a battle he's going to fight. And he said, and I want you to go appoint Elisha to be prophet in your place, in your stead. And you remember he goes down and he finds Elisha working in the fields of his father. Can I tell you, hey, we need to be busy working, right? Need to be busy working. Elisha was working in the fields, and the Bible said that he was plowing with 11 other fellows that had plows and oxen. I mean, it said he had the 12th set, the 12th plowman. And as he was plowing, it said Elijah came by and cast his mantle upon him. And Elisha knew what that meant. It meant he had a call of God on it. Can I tell you, when you get saved, you got a call of God on your life. Get out of the mess you're in. Get out of whatever it is and start following him. Elisha threw that mantle on him. And you know what Elisha did? Elisha went and he tore up his ox handles, his plow handles, his equipment. He broke it all up, set her on fire. Killed his oxen. Amen. He got rid of all of that. And he burned it. You know what he was doing? He's saying, I'm not going back. I have nothing to go back to. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, you ain't got a thing in this world to go back to. Elisha said, I can't go back. I have broke all my equipment. I've burned it all up in the fire, and I have roasted my oxen that were pulling the plow. Buddy, I'm giving it all up, and I'm following the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's what the Lord is looking for out of me and you. Remember Lot's wife. Remember what she did. And Jesus said, don't go back. There is nowhere for you to retreat. There is nothing to look back upon. There is nowhere to go. You're like Elisha. Well, think about this. Think about the Apostle Paul. You remember when Paul, what happened to him Acts chapter number 9, on the road to Damascus. He has papers in his pocket, and he's able to go, you know. He's got papers from the high priest. I can put people in jail. He's walking down the road with that intent, with that heart, with that mindset, with that proudness and that mind that he's going to do something against the people of God. As he's on his way, what happens? Them papers don't become real important anymore, do they? The Lord knocks him down there on the road, and he looks up, and he hears a voice, but all he sees is a brightness that is brighter than the noonday sun. And he heard a voice that said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord?" "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And you know the story. God saves him right there. He said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Jesus said, "Get up and go to the city," and Ananias prays for him. You know the story there. But if you'll remember later on, Paul begins to recount his life over in the book of Philippians. He begins to talk about, he said, you know, if anybody had anything to brag on, I more. He said, "I was of the stock of Israel." He said, "I was God, one of God's chosen people of the tribe of Benjamin." He said, "A Pharisee of the Pharisees. Educated, learned in the scriptures." And I was, as they say today, he was a rising star among the Pharisees of his day. But he said, "You know what happened? I run into Jesus. And he changed my life." And he said, "Those things that were gain to me, all of that position, all of that power, all of that recognition, all of that learning, all of that pedigree that he had," he said, "every bit of that, he said, I count it as but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him." Amen. You know what he said I'm doing now? He said, "I forgot about all that junk behind me." He said, "And I'm pressing forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. What do you say? I'm saying Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Paul said, "I thought about Lot's wife, and guess what? I ain't looking back. I ain't going back." Let me tell you just one more thing about that, thinking about that. And over in John chapter number 6, there's a lot of folks that are following Jesus in John chapter number 6. Crowds. They're there. They're following Jesus. They're talking. Woo, everything's great. Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus begins teaching them. And Jesus says, "Except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me." Well, that kind of took the air out of some balloons. That kind of brought some people back. And they said, "What is he talking about? Well, I don't get that." And it says, from that point, many of them followed him no more. They turned around and went home. They said, "We didn't sign up for this. This ain't what we thought it was going to be. Hey, if that's what he's, I ain't going to follow that. That's kind of weird. That's kind of strange. That's kind of out there." And you remember what Jesus said? He turned around and looked at those that were his disciples, the 12 that were there with him. He said, "Will ye also go away? Y'all going to turn around and go back?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life." Hallelujah. You know what they said? They ain't no going back. Can I tell you, you better be that. So Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. She wanted to go back. She wanted to turn. She wanted what she had. But she lost everything right at that point. Jesus is saying, let me tell you, here are some instructions from these words that I'm giving you. Get this and get it big, long, and straight. Brother, there's no turning back. There's no turning back. You remember what Paul said about one of his men? He writes in sorrow and in tears. And says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." He is talking to young Timothy and saying, "Timothy, be strong. Because let me tell you something. Demas one that I thought was going to be a thought, one that I thought was going to be solid, one that I thought was really in this thing. He's turned around and he's left us. He's gone back to the world. Amen? You know what? I don't know, three times I know totally in the Bible. I think twice by Paul is this statement given. The just shall live by faith. Over in the book of Hebrews, the writer writes that towards the end of chapter number 10. He's talking about the just shall live by faith. He said, and that the Lord has no pleasure in those that turn back. And Paul said, but we're not of them that want to turn back. We're of those that are justified by faith. And he said, and the just shall live by faith. Amen? Amen. Hey, you just need to make your mind up. There's nowhere to go back to. All right, one last thing real quickly. She had a warning of destruction. Jesus gave some words of instruction. And now there is some wisdom of construction in all of this for us. Some wisdom that will give us something to build on. And let this do something. Let this be building something for you. First of all, let me tell you, remember Lot's wife. And in remembering Lot's wife, be sure of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, be sure. Don't, as I say, there's nowhere to go back. There's nowhere to back up. No turning back. Thank God, hey, we're going on. Amen. We sang this little song. We learned it in Spanish when we were getting ready to go to Mexico with the kids. That's been several years ago. We're going to Mexico with them. And Brother Otis Seal said, I want y'all to learn this song because we're going to let y'all sing it. And it's called, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Y'all ever heard that little song? I have decided to follow Jesus. And it just kind of repeats itself. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know what? No turning back. No turning back. You need to make your profession of Christ sure and solid. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I mean, you need to just button your shirt up, pull your belt tight, get yourself standing up straight, and say, son, I'm going on with Jesus. Amen. We need to be like Paul was out on that boat in Acts chapter number 27 when the storm's raging and he's got away and he's prayed and he tells all these men, everything's going to be all right. They're looking at him like, we're in the middle of a storm. We ain't seen daylight for 2 weeks and you say everything's going to be all right. He said, let me tell you how I know. He said, there was an angel of the Lord stood by me this night, whose I am and whom I serve. And he told me that not anything happened to anybody on this boat. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. And you know what? It came to pass just like the Lord told him. What are you saying? I'm saying make your profession sure in Christ Jesus. Make your mind up. Hey, forget all that stuff behind. Forget all the past. Forget all. And look, there's going to be things out in front of you. People try to dissuade you, discourage you, upset you, off track you. There's going to be those out there. Make your mind up. You're on that narrow and straight way and leading to life everlasting. Amen? Here's some stuff. You be sure of your profession. Second of all, be sure that you got more than just mere religion. Amen? I told you earlier, religion sent a lot of folks to hell. Oh, well, preacher, I went down and I saw the priest and I told him all my sin and he told me to say these prayers and to count these beads and do whoop-dee-doo. You better have more than religion. You need a relationship with the Savior of the world. You need to know who Jesus is. You need to be like that song that Logan sang. When you think about what he's done, then sings my soul. Amen. Your soul ought to be just shouting it out. Amen. Oh, what did David say in the psalm? He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was within me. Forget not his benefits. Amen. God's done something for you. And you better have more than mere religion when it comes to serving him. I mean, this religion will let you down. Religion will hurt your feelings. Religion will mess you over. Religion will just tell you, well, just do whatever and however you want to and it'll be okay. Can I tell you, that's religion. But can I tell you, salvation says that Jesus is real. Heaven is sure. Hell is hot. Sin is black. And the blood washes you whiter than snow. Woo! That's what I got. Get you some of that. That's all I can tell you. Amen. You better have more than just a mere religion and religious experience. I hear people, I had a religious experience. Well, I ate some pizza the other night, and I might have had one too. Amen. But can I tell you, when I come to this house, I'm looking for God in His glory to come down and meet and visit with His people. Amen. So you better have more than mere religion. And last of all, let me say this. Be sure that you understand one of these days there will be a separation that comes. There's separation coming. Jesus talks about it here in these verses that we read. He said there's going to be two in the field, one taken, one left. Two at the house, one taken, one left. I mean, you better be sure there's a separation day coming. God's going to separate them out. I know the Bible talks about sheep and goats and all that, but I'm telling you, there's an old sinner that says, I mean, an old song that says, there's a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready for that day to come? There's going to be a separating day. But the main thing is, which side are you on? Which side are you with? Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. She had every advantage. She had every opportunity. She had a godly husband. I mean, the Bible tells us he's righteous. She had family. She had, you know, a godly heritage. She had Abraham for an uncle. Hey, she had a lot of stuff going her way. But you know what? She looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. It don't matter if you've got the best church, the best preacher, the best singing, the best facilities, the best of everything. Unless you know Jesus as your Savior, none of that means one thing. You better be sure that you know Him. I want to just encourage you, remember Lot's wife. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing, if you would, this morning. Remember Lot's wife.